Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 63, with Sarah Kornack and Beth Ann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Deborah Jordan of the Etsy shop Minky Baby Gifts. Deborah and her family have been able to use their business to support them being able to live in different parts of the world for extended periods of time. Living in other countries and volunteering while they are there is something that is very important to Deborah and her family, and their business allows them to do that. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, we are so thrilled to be welcoming Deborah Jordan. She's the shop owner of Minky Baby Gifts on Etsy, where she sells personalized Minky Baby blankets. The shop has over 6,000 sales, and Deborah has the most interesting story for how she was able to turn her business into a full-time gig for her family. So without further ado, we're so excited to welcome Deborah to the show. And welcome, Deborah, and we'd love to hear your story.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I feel so privileged. Thank you.
Deborah, you do have such a unique story to share with our listeners. Could you tell them how you got started in business, but then about how you were able to bring your husband into the business as well?
I have to say it starts probably 30 years ago when I was first married. My husband was second generation owner of a business called Jordan Bedding, which is still in business today. He started that with his brother with the idea of having more freedom. And it does relate to this, to my new business. I have to tell you, bear with me. So he started that business because he wanted freedom to travel. It was before we were married. He had been to Bolivia and had that goal again to possibly go to South America and live for a while doing volunteer work. But you have to have a way to support yourself. So Jordan Bedding was born. And that functioned. It was wonderful. For 8.5 years, we were able to live in Ecuador doing volunteer work. It supported our goals. But then I found out I was pregnant towards the end of our stint in Ecuador. It was almost 9 years, and 2 months before we left, I found out I was pregnant. And that very same month, within just a couple of days, before he knew we were having the baby, my brother-in-law had asked to buy us out. So we were coming back to the U.S. without any means of support and a new family. We couldn't be footloose and fancy free like we had been. We had to be a little more responsible. So for a little while, my husband actually worked as an employee for his brother, but we wanted what we had before. We always had the goal of traveling, and especially now that we had a son, we wanted him to be able to have what we had. We wanted him to know other cultures and the pleasure that comes from volunteer work. So with that goal, we looked at many different opportunities. I can't tell you how many things I did, from Tupperware to selling vitamins, multi-level marketing. I did just about everything, wanting residual income, something that would support us. So that's the background. With that in mind, my sister and I, Gary was now working full time. We'd almost lost the vision of being able to leave the country again. And my sister asked if I would like to help her selling, doing sales. She was sewing baby items and I would do sales. So I would sell 12 baby bibs at a time. We sold to the Little Rock Zoo and just had little accounts here and there. And it was piddly income. It was fun. Felt exciting knowing that we were making things and selling them. Kind of like pioneer women. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But it did not provide income. It was just maybe if I wanted a new pair of boots or a diaper bag, something like that. Eventually, my sister decided that was just not what she was looking for, so I took over, and we formed Lullaby Embroidery. This was in, I would say, about 2001, when Lullaby Embroidery came into existence. Our business is totally different now from what it was back then. Lullaby Embroidery was purely wholesale. We sold to boutiques all around the United States. We had some accounts in Canada. At our heyday, we had over 1,000 accounts, which is good for everything being handmade.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
And these were our small boutiques. They weren't large, you know, large department stores. They were women like myself and entrepreneurs. But I have to say, wholesale just, it was a lot of work for a little bit of money. It felt glamorous going up to the, we had our sales reps in South Carolina, Atlanta, and Dallas. And I had sales reps in Los Angeles as well. We had some in New York. It sounds pretty on paper, but it was sweat and tears. It was really difficult. Lullaby Embroidery was a beautiful business. I loved what we did. We imported from Turkey. We had a gorgeous line, but it was wholesale, and your profit margin is very low. Speaking with most people doing what I did, I don't think our profit margin was bad in comparison, but it was pretty common. But 25% is very hard. It's very hard to make a living. You have to have a huge sales volume to be able to live off of 25%. So, and at times we didn't make that much by the time you paid commissions. Okay, but I digress. So the lowest part of our business came in July of 2008 when the financial crisis hit our part of the world and everything fell apart. It was frightening. My husband lost his job in May of 2008, the company he worked for. All this while, my husband was working full time. And Lullaby was just basically, well, we both worked it, but he did that plus Lullaby. And so in 2008, May, he lost his job. We decided to turn full-time to Lullaby Embroidery, and we put our all into it. We had a little bit, we had some savings. We sunk it into the business. Well, July of 2008 is supposed to be our biggest sales month starting fall. Sales, that's when the stores purchased for fall and Christmas, we had zero sales. And it was frightening. I was so scared. When I got that call from both sales reps that were having shows at that time, and they told us they had no sales. And here we had nothing. We'd put all our money into this business. So we decided to regroup. We had about a month to figure out what we were going to do. My husband got a job driving a school bus, and that provided money for food. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, I saw this beautiful little company. It wasn't very big at the time. It was internet, a marketplace for selling handmade goods called Etsy. And I salivated. I thought, I saw what some of the women were doing there, and I knew that we already had everything in place to be successful. I just had to start selling. But by then, my husband was so burned on the business. He just wanted to shut it down. And he didn't trust Etsy. He did not trust it. So I started working it behind his back. I would make listings and ship things when he wasn't watching. But we were still taking in wholesale orders. We did that. We did wholesale until 2009, when finally we decided we were done. We were going to give everything to Etsy, put all our eggs in one basket, and we haven't looked back. Etsy's just been so wonderful. It's just been a lot of fun.
So I know at some point in this story, you downsized your home, which is a big part of your values and who you are. When did that happen? When did you make that decision?
That was in 2009. Like so many people, we had a house that was not worth what we was not worth a loan that we were paying, you know, and we could not sell it for that. We ended up doing a short sale, and we moved into an apartment, 800 square foot apartment. They had a garage, and because they were just happy to have people living there, they did not care that I worked a business out of their apartment. So I worked out of a garage, and we lived in that small apartment, and I worked Etsy behind my husband's back while he drove the school bus. After we'd lived in the 800 square foot apartment, we realized that we could go down even smaller, that most of our time was spent in this tiny little section that I'd walled off and made for our business. All three of us would be back there. My small son, he would take his toys back there, and I would sew, and my husband would work the computer. And we realized we just need that in a kitchen, and we'd be happy in a place to lay down. So we started looking for a way to scale down even more, to cut our overhead, and basically just start from a tight circle again. We were so spread out, going so many different ways. We just needed to take stock of our core values and put effort towards reaching goals again, like family goals and life in general. But yeah, so that was around 2010 that we were able to purchase. We saved everything we had, every penny, and we purchased outright our tiny home in 2010. And then we purchased a couple more buildings for our business.
And for our listeners, I had the opportunity to watch a YouTube video about Deborah and her house. But could you tell our listeners the size of your house?
Yes, it was 10 feet wide. These are the exterior dimensions, 10 by 30. So 300 square feet. And then later we added, my son had a sleeping loft, and we knew that was, when we purchased the house, we knew that wouldn't be, work long term. So we had plans to raise the roof up and give him more of a bedroom. So I say it was closer to 400 square feet, because by the time it was over, he had an awesome bedroom. We lived there for 3 years.
Okay, where did you, because you lived in, was it Panama after that?
Yes, that was the other. Every step that we took, have taken, was really with the goal of being able to take our son outside of the country, give him a view of what other people live like. So even back in 2010, we were looking at different countries to move to. I liked the idea of Africa. China has always been on the list and still is. Eventually, we settled on Panama because it's closer, and my mother-in-law's health, we needed to be closer to be able to get back to the United States quickly. So anyway, we in 2010, we decided that we would try to go to Panama. And it took us a little bit longer than we thought. It took us 3 years to be able to pay off all our bills and create a stable business that could function without our hands-on presence. But yep, that's how we got to Panama.
That's incredible. I just love your guys' story, and I love the fact that, you know, that desire to travel and to do volunteer work that you've had for so many years, that you found a way to do that again, to make that dream happen. So I'm curious, from a business standpoint, what kinds of systems did you have to have in place in order to run your Etsy shop from Panama?
Ah, yes. Well, we had to have really good people. So I attribute most of our success to having a couple of really good people. And they weren't employees, but we considered them business partners. Basically, I ran the Etsy site. I worked with all the customers, digitized all the orders. Every day we would download the orders, and I would have the embroideries ready, as well as any fabrics they needed to pull. And then on the other end here in the States, I have to tell you, later on you're going to ask me what tools.
Okay.
Well, our tools are what made it possible, and they were simple and free, because as you probably gathered by now, I don't like spending a lot of money on overhead. So I would email her the orders, and then I would hit print on one of our tools. And in the United States, several thousand miles away, within a few seconds, they would start printing from, the orders would print from a printer, and the labels would ship from a Dymo label. Got to get that in there. Love my Dymo label, shipping label maker. Anyway, so, and then the next day, Jordana would pull the orders, embroider them. We provided all the machinery. And then a seamstress would come in and would assemble them. Jordana packed and shipped for us. And it functioned Oh, it was just amazing how well it worked. And I attribute it mainly to these really good girls that worked with us.
That's wonderful to have people that you could depend on so well while you were very, very far away.
So, Deborah, you mentioned some tools, and particularly some free tools that really help you to keep the shop running. Could you list a few of your favorites?
Yes, my free tools are Dropbox. At the time, I was not paying for space. I do now. Dropbox and Google Print. Google Print is my secret. We looked into setting up a VPN. That was very expensive, and I could not find the support. If something happened and went down, our business would be, I mean, it would have been grounded. I would have had to fly back to the U.S. But Google Print, it kept us going. Every day I click print and fire off the orders. It was amazing. The other tool that I love and cannot live without, which I do pay for, $45 a month, is ShipStation. I love ShipStation because I was having trouble coordinating the tracking numbers with the orders. Now everything is automatically uploaded to ShipStation, and I click print, and the ShipStation adds the tracking numbers to our Etsy site. It's all automated. It's wonderful. Oh, and it also works with Google Print, so when I printed the labels, they would shoot out on the other end miles away.
Those certainly sound like great tools. Now, Google Print, nobody has mentioned Google Print before. So is that just what exactly? I mean, I understand something prints off far away, but what makes Google Print so unique?
Well, for one, it's free, and then you just have to be logged into your email, and then you will connect your printers to the Google Cloud, and then every time you click print, you can automate it, but you can also have a choice of each time sending it to a specific printer. And so when you click it, Google takes care of the rest, and you can print from anywhere in the world using many different devices. I printed from my cell phone, from my tablet, from other people's computers. Yeah, it's great.
Okay, that's really interesting. And so then it just prints off those labels where the other ladies are in the U.S. ready to package and ship the orders.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Awesome.
Very cool. So, Deborah, I know you've been an early adopter of Etsy, which I'm sure has, you know, contributed to your shop's growth and success, but do you have some other tips or best ways you've grown your shop and grown your customers?
Betsy, I should mention. I'm sure other people are using Betsy. I love it because you can edit a lot of items in just a short period of time. And I pay for that also. I don't use the free version. It's totally worth its weight in gold.
I was looking too at your shop, and the name of it alone was such a smart choice because you sell Minky baby gifts. I mean, really, it's like that's what people would be searching for if they're looking for those Minky baby blanket. So that was an incredibly smart choice just for your title there.
Oh, yes. Well, I that's not original. I read that in the forums.
Even right there, I think people forget that, you know, as much as you want to be creative and original and have a catchy title, but, you know, really what you really need is to be found by the customers who are looking for you. So that's really smart.
Since this business is your entire livelihood for your family, does that ever, it sounds so exciting to me, but also a little nerve-wracking too. How do you guys balance that out? Or does that ever make you a little bit nervous? Or it's just been going so well that you don't, that you're just so happy with how it's going?
Oh, well, no. Yes and no. Sometimes it's frightening to think this is our sole source of income, but so many people are in that boat. They have one way to make a living, and we're branching out. I just mentioned we're also Soldzy is another way. We may sell on Amazon. We're looking into that, but there's just so many ways that you can sell your own product. So I think that helps take the fear out of having your own business. You're not limited to just one way. You can always find some way to sell what you make.
I haven't heard of Soldzy before. What is that?
Oh, Soldzy, that is a platform to sell on Facebook. It's pretty new. It's only been out a couple of years. I don't even know if it's 2 years old. At the beginning, we just use it for sample sales, but now I will be opening up a Soldzy store. That's our next step. We're working on loading our store. But Soldzy helps you sell on Facebook, and they give you all the training that you need, and it's comparable to Etsy, the commission. I was happy. Amazon has much higher fees, so I was happy with the Soldzy fees and commissions. They're comparable to Etsy.
Yeah, that's great to know about. I actually started looking them up because I was so curious,
yes.
Deborah. It looks really interesting. It says, too, that it's for Instagram as well, so it helps you to sell right on Facebook and Instagram, which is really interesting.
Right, yeah. I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be a fun adventure.
You have quite a few Facebook fans. I'm looking maybe over 2,000, almost 3,000 Facebook fans. How did you grow that following that you have there, which I'm sure will be helpful when you launch Soldzy with all those Facebook fans already?
Oh, I have to say I've not been the best at social media and social media marketing. That's why I'm looking forward to working with Soldzy. They're training me. But most of those likes came from, I have a simple statement on my Etsy store at the very beginning. I say, for an instant coupon, like us on Facebook here. And then I have my link to our Facebook. That's where everybody came from.
Perfect.
But I have to say, I do know that that's my weak link. I'm not good at social media. As I'm not good at social media, and this is what I want to work with, some of the growing pains in the business is learning to let go. I like to be the one that does all the digitizing. I like touching every single blanket and touching every piece of fabric that goes out of the shop. But my son's is working with us now. My role in the business is changing, and that's been hard to accept, learning to let go. But I'm getting excited about taking on these new roles, working with the customers a little more, being more hands-on in that sense. But yeah, letting go is very difficult.
I think that's something every entrepreneur struggles with at some point, you know, because it takes a lot of drive and commitment to get any sort of business going. And so then when you have to give away little pieces, you know, and it's obviously it's for the best of the business, but that's difficult.
Oh, you put it into words. You're so eloquent. Yes, that's what I'm feeling.
Give me, yeah. I don't know that anyone's ever called me eloquent before. That's a first.
You must have kissed the Blarney Stone, Bethann.
Yeah.
It gives you the gift of eloquence.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. Oh, how cool.
I think so, yeah. So, Deborah, what is the one accomplishment in your business that you are the most proud of? It seems like you have so many accomplishments to be proud of, but is there one thing that you would say?
When we left it, I have to say when we were able to leave it for 8 months. We didn't actually leave it, but because we still were right there working it, but knowing that it could function and it could go on, that it, you know, that's why they make key man insurance. When one person is so important to the business that it can't function without that person, being able to let go and knowing that if, you know, the need be, or if I want to go on vacation or just step back for a few days, it's going to be okay. I'm proud of that. And I think my husband had more to do with that than me. I have to say that.
You almost have a legacy then. If you can leave your business and it still functions, that business could then potentially, you know, carry on, which is a nice thought to have a business that doesn't just have to end with you. So that's wonderful.
So true. So true.
And speaking of that, being able to kind of step away from the business for 8 months while you're in Panama, what were you able to do in Panama?
Oh, what were we able to do? That was so much fun. I have being able to be with my son full time. I mean, he works with us, and I do homeschool. My husband and I both are involved in his homeschooling. We were able to work on him. His language skills improved, just his maturity. That was incredible. But also we volunteered. We taught literacy and just worked with the local people. It's hard to explain what I actually did there. We had people over and got to know them, made friends. It wasn't just the volunteer work. But yeah, we were involved in literacy.
Very cool. Deborah, do you have either a favorite quote that you like to live by or that sort of guides your business, or a favorite business book?
Our quote comes from Star Wars, Yoda to be specific. There is no try, only do and not do. I'm famous for trying things, but my husband always quotes that.
That's good. That's a good point. Don't try. You just do.
Exactly.
Yoda is wise, right?
In addition to the business book or business advice, to say I love Zig Ziglar, and in specific, he did a little piece on immigrant attitude. Every now and then I'll pull that up and listen to it or read it. And he was specifically speaking about education, higher education, and regarding immigrant attitude, you really should listen to it. It's awesome. But he quotes, or he tells a story about an immigrant from Nigeria. And basically, this immigrant did what it took to raise his family and to get his education. And he was already an adult. But he did what he took. He was a taxi driver. And that's why, at one point, I was teaching English. I was driving a school bus. We were cleaning houses. We cleaned offices at night. We did all this because it was what it took to make the business work. And I was a little bit ashamed that I cleaned offices at night. I was like, how can you be a success if you're cleaning offices at night? But I had the immigrant attitude that Zig Ziglar talked about. You do what it takes to take care of your family, and the rest will fall into place.
That's a fantastic story and attitude to have. Speaking of success, how do you personally define success?
Being able to be with my family, reaching our goals. Our next goal is to go to China. And so we have baby steps that we're reaching to go to China. We're working on Chinese. That's going to be a big one. Learning Chinese every week. My husband has us. My son and myself do little reports on China and what we're interested in, the culture, and how we'll adapt. So our life isn't just about the business, but to be successful, I think you just have to feel really well-rounded and grounded. So setting and reaching goals has a big part of being successful.
So do you plan on living in China for an extended period of time, similar to your Panama trip?
Well, the Panama trip felt so short. It was only 8 months. I would really like to live in China a lot longer than that. But okay. We shall see what happens. Yeah, I would like to stay a year or two to really understand the culture. So, yeah, and our business will take us there.
I hope that works out for you very well.
Thank you.
Yes, we'll definitely have to stay in touch so we can follow how things are going while you're there. So, Deborah, we've learned a ton from talking with you, and most of all, it's just been such a treat to hear your incredible story and the story of your family. As we wrap up here today, do you have either a really funny or, I know your son's a teenager now, so maybe not adorable mom moment. I'm not sure, maybe more a funny mom moment would fit.
Wow, this one was so hard for me. All he has are memories of lullaby and Minky Baby gifts. when he was probably 4 or 5, he would load all of his Legos up in a blanket, and then he would put them on top of my sewing table or my cutting table and just spread them out. And he would play Legos, and we would just talk while he was playing and I was sewing. And that was just the best. It felt like it was worth it. Those moments made me want to keep going. I didn't want to work outside of the home. I wanted to be there with him. It's been great, great journey.
Those sound like wonderful memories that you have of doing your business with your family right there beside you. That's wonderful. So that all of our listeners will know where to find you, could you list all of your applicable contact information and websites and Facebook?
Sure. MinkyBabyGifts.com. We have, you can spell it either with M-I-N-K-E-E or M-I-N-K-Y, MinkyBabyGifts.com. Facebook, it's Minky Baby Gifts Boutique. And to get in contact with me, Deborah@MinkyBabyGifts with 2 E's, M-I-N-K-E-E.
Great. Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Thank you. I sure appreciate your efforts.
I just love how Deborah's business allows her family to support their big dreams and big goals. I find that very exciting. So what big goals do you want your business to help you support? Find us on Facebook and let us know. We would love to hear what big goals that you are trying to achieve with your business. For the show notes, head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/63. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.